Thanks, Carly. I'm just going to clear the decks here a little bit because I can see it going everywhere otherwise. Well, we only got to read the last chapter of Ruth, and I'd encourage you to read the whole story this week because it's an amazing story. It's a great, great little story in itself. But as we're going to talk about today, it's got some really good stuff for us to take home. A mate of mine, he's got an old Jeep. And these things aren't my favourite car. Actually, I love to hate them. The indicators are where the wipers should be. And when you go to turn the indicator on, you've got wipers going. They're all the wrong way round, and they predictably handle like a truck. It seems like these things are cobbled together from spare parts and then the Americans shift them off over to Australia as some kind of prank. So my mate Vaughan's bought one of these things and I think he's slightly insane. Why would you waste your hard-earned cash on this thing? It's dirty, it reeks of mice. Under the bonnet, somewhere amongst the ancient wiring, there's a tired, oil-slobbering gas guzzler. Black goop spews everywhere. This thing's what I'd call a bucket of bolts, fit for the crusher. Well, that's how it was, at least. But you should see this thing now. You see, it's been redeemed. Vaughan spent hours getting rid of the dirt. He cleaned up the oil. The mouse's houses are gone. The rusty panels are all fixed up. It's got a fresh paint job. This thing looks great. And it's even got a non-oil slobbering kind of engine up front. Oh, and his wife gets air conditioning. Vaughan reckons she's going to need it when they go on their next holiday together in the old Jeep. You see, for Vaughan, this is a labour of love. This unlovely pile of junk has been made lovely. Now, if you're not a Jeep freak, you probably don't get it. You're rightly asking, what has this got to do with the Bible? What has this got to do with Ruth? Well, as we unpack her story today, we're going to see it's about God making the unlovely lovely. Ruth's the story of redemption. Humanity's fallen from glory. Sin has made people unlovely, like the rusty old Jeep. But like my mate's Jeep, Ruth's story of redemption, restored at the hands of God. God making the unlovely lovely. Now, as I said, I wish we had this time to read the whole story because it's a great read. But we are going to pick up in chapter 4. But first, let me set the scene because we need to have some background. I'm going to race through the main points of the first three chapters and you'll find them in the bulletin there for you. See, the story begins with tragedy. It's a rough time in Israel's history. Socially and spiritually, they're in a mess. This comes right after Judges. There in the last verse of Judges, it says, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. Naomi and her family found themselves in the middle of a drought, and they saw fit to leave Bethlehem and head to Moab. Now, perhaps that was a logical decision at the time, but it doesn't go well, does it? While in Moab, Naomi's sons married Moabite women, which was forbidden in Israel, then her husband and sons die. With no family to care for her, she packs up what little she has and heads back to Judah. And Ruth, her daughter-in-law, insists on going with her. Imagine turning back in your hometown with a hanger-onerer who is disgusting to your culture. This is Naomi's life. But this is an important turning point, though, in the story. Because, you see, Naomi and Ruth turn to God in their hour of need. So that's the first point of chapter 1. It's there in verse 6 of chapter 1. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food, that's in Judah, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. In Judah, we see God provide. Chapter 2. In Judah, we see God provide. Ruth works in the field of Boaz, gleaning grain left behind by the harvesters. Boaz notices her there and makes sure that she and Naomi have plenty. In chapter 3, a romance blossoms and a redemption plan is hatched. Ruth asks Boaz to marry her, and he's only too pleased to oblige. Only there's one complication. You see, redemption in Israel meant a relative would buy the family land to keep it in the family. The relative would then marry the widow and produce an heir. Only there's a nearer relative of Naomi. Culturally, he's got the right of redemption. Will the romance be crushed? And that's certainly how it seems when we get to chapter 4. It's worth having your Bibles open at chapter 4 as we go through the last part of Ruth. We have Boaz at the gate. He sits down with a close relative to settle the matter. He tells him about Elimelech's land. And look what happens there in verse 4. And he said, that's the unnamed relative, I will redeem it. Then Boaz says, the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance. Hang on a minute. What's going on here? I remember the first time I read this. It's like, no, we're set for a wedding, but not Ruth and Mr. No Name. It's meant to be Boaz. What happens next highlights Ruth's predicament. Read on with me, verse 6. Then the Redeemer said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it. You see, this guy finds out he gets Ruth with the land, and quick as a flash, he says, okay, I give up. It's yours. I like Boaz. I think we get to see a bit of his humanity. He wants to do what's right. That's why he's there talking to the unnamed relative. But I reckon he didn't really want to talk to him. Did you notice the way he describes Ruth? Remember the culture? He describes Ruth as a Moabite, a widow of the dead. You see, Moabites are hated by Israelites. If you came from Moab, you were second rate, not a part of God's family. You were detestable. Ruth's not only a Moabite, she didn't produce a child from Mahlon, and now he's dead. You can't blame Mr. No Name for running as fast as his little legs could carry him, could you? But old Boaz, he seems to have fallen for the girl. He wants to marry her. I don't think he really wants to let her go, do you? Somehow, the unlovely Ruth has become lovely to Boaz. What happened? Well, the change for Ruth is spiritual, isn't it? Ruth has a new allegiance, a new God in her life, the God of Israel. It's back in chapter 1, verse 16. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or return from following you. This is when she was replying to Naomi, who said to go back to your family. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Ruth turned from the gods of Moab. She follows the true God. In fact, not only did she reject the gods of Moab, she rejected the culture and its ways. Ruth calls Israel her people. She sought refuge in the kingdom of God. Ruth's no longer the unlovable widow from the neighbouring country. By faith, she's become an Israelite. You might like to turn with me to chapter 2, verse 11. Boaz says this to her. Chapter 2, verse 11. I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. How you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you've done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you come to take refuge. She's taken refuge under the wings of God. As we said, an Israelite by faith. And now, with the blessing of the whole community, she's getting married. God's provided a redeemer. He's removing the stigma, the title of widow, and bringing children into the world through her. Ruth's redemption begins with a simple confession of faith in the God of Israel. God took her humble, broken life, her unlovely life, and transformed it. But friends, we can't miss something else, something really important, because God just doesn't make one life great through his redemption of Ruth, does he? He used Ruth's life to redeem the life of others. God uses Ruth to restore the unpleasantness that came upon Naomi to pleasantness, because Naomi means pleasant. She's no longer a widow, no longer alone with no sons to care for her. God's provided her with a redeemer too. Now, I've had my mum here for a few days, and it's really special to watch the way she interacts with the kids and the kids interact with her. And I think all of you who are grandparents can understand the joy that Naomi must have felt when she nursed the child. This was a child that was her family, her child. So Boaz takes Ruth, she becomes his wife, and the Lord gives her a son. We're in chapter 4, verse 14. Then the women say to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who's not left you this day without a redeemer. May his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you the restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi takes the child and lays him on her lap and becomes his nurse. The women of the neighbourhood give him a name, saying, "A son's been born to Naomi." They name him Obed. Well, if the story was to end there, I think we'd all be pretty excited. We'd all be pretty happy with that. It's a pretty cool story, isn't it? But it doesn't. It doesn't end there. You see, Obed is more than Naomi's redeemer. He's the father of Jesse, the father of David. David's the king that God appoints over Israel. We can read about it just a few pages over in 2 Samuel chapter 5. God's plan is much greater than just a few individuals. Through David, God gives Israel a king. Born out of God's redemption of Ruth and Naomi, God's plan for Israel to be led in obedience to him. Of course, history tells us that sin continues. The ugly head of sin keeps popping up and up. And you might recall the events of King David and Bathsheba. You can read about it in 2 Samuel. The unloveliness of humanity just doesn't go away, does it? Throughout history, just like Ruth and Naomi, humanity has been in a hopeless situation. Sin makes us utterly despicable. Kind of like the old Jeep that was fit for the crusher. Now, I'd like you to turn with me for a moment. So I'm sorry we're flipping around a little bit. But turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Here in Matthew chapter 1, we've got an extended version of the genealogy from Ruth. Now, I'm not going to read out all those names, but I want you to see them there. There's Boaz and Obed in verse 5, David in verse 6, and there's all these names. And then finally, in verse 16, we have Jesus. The family tree of Jesus. You see, this story of Ruth's not really about Ruth or Naomi or Boaz or Mr. No Name or Jesse or David. It's not just a romance. It's a story of love. It's a story of God's love. You see, though it isn't written there in Ruth, Jesus is the climax of the story. Jesus, the child conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary in the line of David, he's God's redemption plan. By his death on the cross, he's taken all the ugliness of sin upon himself, restoring righteousness to all who trust in him. Jesus makes the unlovely lovely before God. Well, so what? Perhaps some of you are thinking, well, he's going to do the predictable thing and say, you need to trust in Jesus because you're a sinner just like the rest of us. And that's true. Jesus is God's only solution to the ugliness of sin. Without faith in Jesus, you're perishing. The evangelists love to quote John 3:16, and it's a great verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. You see, perishing is the alternative to believing in Jesus. Faith is what you need. Faith in Jesus gives eternal life. But friends, many of us here do have faith in Jesus, don't we? But I want you to go away encouraged from the story of Ruth as well. You see, Ruth is a story about ordinary people being redeemed and used by God for things much more than they can imagine. Ruth, Naomi, Boaz, they're just ordinary people doing life. It's God who comes along and redeems all of humanity using them as part of his plan. Ruth is a parable of God's relationship with us. It's a parable of God's redemption of his people. It's a parable of God's love. If, like Ruth, you've made God your God, if by faith in Jesus you seek shelter under his wings, you and I are living that redeemed life. We haven't got the fairy tale ending yet, but it's coming. Believing in Jesus doesn't make all your problems go away right now. Ruth had a hard life. I can't imagine the devastation of her becoming a widow in her culture. But she put her faith in God, in the God of Israel. And it was a long road filled with all kinds of hardships for her. But by trusting in God, she got there in the end. Friends, that's how our life is too, isn't it? Filled with disappointments. Filled with heartache. Now, you guys are real people. There's real stuff going on in your lives. There are real burdens. Some of you hurt. Some of you are hurting today. Some of you are overwhelmed. Perhaps some of you wonder where your next paycheck's coming from. I reckon at some time in our lives, every one of us feels crushed. Life can be hard. Whatever you're going through now, whatever you will go through, friends, God is planning good for you. You get that? God is planning good for you. You can be sure that trusting in Jesus will not disappoint. Because, see, united to Him, you will be restored. He will keep the promise that's there for us in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. He will wipe every tear from your eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. Friends, like the characters of the book of Ruth, we can take shelter under the wings of God. Our redemption is a labour of love, a labour of God's love. You can trust Him. Like my mate Vaughan with the dirty old Jeep, no cost is spared. God spares no expense when it comes to your restoration. He's paid with His Son. We can and should trust Him. It doesn't matter what mess or hurt or hardship you meet along the road of your lives. God's restoring your brokenness. Trust Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the story of Ruth. Thank You for the great encouragement it brings us to read such a lovely story of love, of Your love. Father, we pray that the story of Your love would soak into the very hearts of each of us. That as we face the world this week, our community this week, that knowing that we can trust You would just give us a sense of belonging and joy in Your kingdom. Father, help us to trust You, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.